Psalm 27, verse 1. Let's hear God's Word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. And God will add His blessing to that reading from His Word for His name's sake. Please bow your head and heart with me just for a moment. You ask the Lord to make a way for His Word into your soul. Let's all pray. O God and Father in heaven, cleanse our hearts from every sin, we pray. Thy Word says that it's the clean vessels that Thou dost use. We want to be clean tonight. We pray, our Father, that Thou wilt not only cleanse us, but Thou wilt empower us now with the Holy Spirit. Give the words that must needs be said. Put a guard about the lips and the heart of this preacher. Keep him true to the Word. Get him beyond the words he has on paper. And tonight we pray that we will have a message from the Lord. We ask this in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. And amen. It will always do us a world of good if we remember, whenever we read the Psalms of David, how Samuel describes this man. You'll remember that Samuel met Saul one day at Gilgal after Saul had taken upon himself to do the work of a priest in offering up a sacrifice to God. Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after His own heart." The Lord hath sought him a man after His own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over the people. It is those words, "a man after His own heart," that draw our attention. They're descriptive of David, of his overall character. How God viewed this servant, a man after His own heart. David was a man like that. That is to say that David had a heart for God. He had a heart for Him. He desired what God desired. He delighted in the law of the Lord. It was not a drudgery to him. He lived to please His God.
That's not to say that David never displeased the Lord or that David never had wrong desires. Bathsheba is certainly a case in point. David was troubled with pride like anybody else was when he went out to number the children of Israel, to number his armies. But there is no one in all the Word of God that has that description placed upon him by God Almighty than David like that, a man after God's own heart. Now, I said a few moments ago that we would do well to remember this truth whenever we read David's Psalms. Because the Psalm, you see, his Psalms reveal the kind of man that he was. His Psalms reveal the desires of his heart. And if David was a man after God's heart, then I would think it would behoove us to have and to cry to God, give us those desires. Lord, if you've described David like that, that's the kind of believer I want to be. That's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of woman I want to be after your heart. And let me go on to say that it would be of supreme interest to the Christian to discover the chief desire of a man after God's own heart. For what could be more vital than a child of God than to know the central desire of a man after God's own heart? My text this evening tells us exactly what that was with regards to David. I want to ask you a question. Before going any farther, if there was one thing you could ask God for, what would it be? Look at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. The man after God's own heart. The man that was so typical of the Lord Jesus Christ says there's one thing that I'm asking God for above all things, that I might dwell in His house forever, to behold His beauty and to inquire into His temple. From that text, I want to speak for a few moments this evening on a man of God's desire for the house of God. A man of God's desire for the house of God. I have never forgotten many, many years ago reading the comment of a Puritan upon this text. And he put it like this. I thought it was rather quaint. David's desire to go to church. David's desire to go to church. I've entitled it A Man of God's Desire for the House of God. It's that desire I want to preach on this evening and ask three questions. I'm only going to get to one of them. First question, what was it that David really wanted? What was it that David really wanted when he says, there's one thing I'm seeking God for, that I can dwell in His house all the days of my life? This is all about your attitude and my attitude about the house of God, about this assembly that you have joined yourself to. That's what this is all about. What does it mean to dwell in God's house all the days of one's life? We should want to know that. This man for God's own heart said, there's the one thing I'm looking for. What does it mean? Certainly David was not asking that he be always living physically in the house of God. That's a no-brainer. Anna, you recall in Luke chapter 2, departed not from the temple. Didn't mean that she always lived, that had a bed and a kitchen and a whatever else would be needed to dwell there physically all the time. It meant that where she was always found, always going to the temple. And the disciples after Christ's resurrection in Luke 24, it says, were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Continually in the temple. I want you to see already both Anna and the Spirit-filled disciples who have seen the resurrected Christ have this interest in the house of God. They have a desire to be there and to be there continually. But what David wanted, this man of God, was not to live physically in the temple all the time, or the tabernacle as it was at that point in time, but it was to be found as often as he could all the days of his life in the house of God. Dwell is the key word. It means what it means in the Greek as well as in the Hebrew. It means to abide and to remain there. In other words, David did not want to be a stranger to God's house. He always wanted to feel as if he was at home when he went to God's house. I remember as a boy, especially in the early days of my childhood, my parents were not always consistent with taking us to church. That changed as we got older. But certainly in those younger years, they were not consistent in taking us to church. And we would go for long seasons without attending the house of God on a Sunday. But then the Lord would begin to deal with them and they would begin to go back to church. And I remember how it was that first Sunday back, after being away from the Sunday school class for months, all those other boys and girls, 7, 8 year old, they had been there regularly, and here I was, and I felt so odd. I felt so strange. Why? Because I had not been dwelling in the house of the Lord. It wasn't part of my regular life. David never wanted to feel like he was a stranger in God's house because of staying away from it. Now, there were times, as we understand from his life, when he was forced away, he could not get to the house of God, but even then he was longing to be there. He did not make excuses for staying away from the house of God. He went. He knew that's where he needed to be, and indeed that's where he wanted to be, dwelling in God's house. This is a man after God's own heart. That's how I say it should be for the Christian. What is dwelling in the Lord's house below but a little picture of heaven? What is it? The people of God assembling themselves together, and I'll say for what more in a few moments, but the people of God, fellow saints, assembling themselves together in order to worship the Lord. That, I say, is a little bit of heaven. And we don't ever want to find ourselves in a position when we come through those doors, we feel out of place and we feel strange because we've not been here. We've only reached the surface of the one thing David desired in his life. What was he really wanting? What was it that David was really wanting of God? Four things. Number one, David wanted to experience the presence of God. He wanted to experience the presence of God in the house of God. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. That word presence is an interesting word in the original text. When you find it, it actually means face or countenance. I want to behold the face of God. I want to behold His countenance. You recall in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, the Lord promised Moses, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." He was very worried about what he had to do. The Lord said, "Don't worry. My presence, my face, my countenance will go with you, and I will give you rest." Sin had turned away God's face from man, Adam and Eve, but grace turned it back again. That is, God comes to dwell with men again, and He manifests His presence. And you see, brothers and sisters, the sheer fact of the matter is, the place God revealed Himself to Israel was in the tabernacle, later on in the temple. Now, that's not to say that God was somehow limited to manifesting His presence in those places, but those were the places He especially chose to manifest Himself in order that His people could dwell in His presence and could behold, not with the eyes of the flesh, but with the eye of faith, behold His face and His countenance, and behold His beauty. To the true Israelite, to dwell in the Lord's presence, to behold, to have that experience, it meant that God was with them and that none could prevail over them. It meant that God's presence was there to guide them, and they needed guiding. It meant that God's presence was there to comfort them. It was there to instruct them. The presence of God was there, the face of God. Think about it all. When God's face is there, His presence is there. God's face is there to guide and to comfort and to instruct them and to search them. And this is all that David wanted here. He wanted to commune and to fellowship with God. He wanted to experience that. And it is something to experience the gracious presence of God. He wanted to experience, to get into that temple, that the presence of God might probe his heart. That the presence of God might calm his fears. You find that when David was experiencing the presence of God, he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are, as long as I can dwell in His presence. My, how much that man valued dwelling in the presence of the Lord. He wanted the presence of God not just to probe his heart and to calm his fears, but to direct his steps. Now, we come to church. We come to church. That's something that Christians do. They go to church. Why? Why do you go to church? Why do you get up, dress yourself, put on your Sunday best, and come to the house of God? Certainly, it's not to fill a seat, I trust. I like full seats. I don't like looking out and seeing empty seats. But that's not why you come. You don't come just out of a sense of duty. There is a duty. I've got to say that. You've got a responsibility to be here. Not put upon you by me, but by God. You're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You're just not to do that. That's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And there's no other words for it but wrong. But that's not why you come. It certainly should never be so that you might salve a guilty conscience if you don't come. Well, you know, if I don't show up at church on Sunday, I'm going to feel bad on Monday. You don't come because you're afraid of what somebody might say if you're not here on Sunday. And they're going to wonder, where am I? And, you know, am I playing hooky and all that? That's not why you come. You don't come per se with the goal of, I want to meet with fellow Christians. I've been out in the world all week long, and man, I just can't wait to talk to somebody that's on the same page I'm on. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's great to have fellowship, and that's part of the design that God has, and worship at a church is for fellowship with other believers in Christ. But that's not the main reason. We have come today to meet with God. We have come to this house tonight that we might experience the presence of the Lord. I know that God is here. I know that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present at once with all of His being. But there is a special manifestation, what I'm saying. God uniquely manifests His presence when His people assemble together in the house of God. When they go to church. When they go to church. I'm not saying you are to look forward, experience, and long for the presence of God in your own home. You are. I'm not saying you're not to experience the presence of God in your own prayer closet. Lord, you must cry to Him, show me yourself, let me see your face, and you get to your knees before God. Yes, that's all very true. But I know David had those experiences of personal contact with God, of private communion, where he enjoyed the Lord's presence. But David says here, There's one thing I'm desiring, that I might dwell in the house of God all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This man of God, this man after God's own heart, had a very serious view about his attendance at the temple, because he knew that's where he would meet with God in a very unique way. The presence of the Lord he wanted, and he needed it. David, in the second place, wanted to learn the precepts of God. The house of God, you see, is a big term that takes in a lot of material. The house of God was a place where God's law was read, God's word was taught. The law of the Lord was David's delight. You know that from reading his Psalms. Going to God's house meant he was able to hear God's word being read. He was able to hear the choir of the temple or the tabernacle, to take the songbook of the church, which is the Psalms, and sing them. Wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing for David to hear the very Psalms he had penned being sung by the sons of Korah? He wants to go to the house of God that he might hear God's word, that he might learn the will of God, and that he might discern God's ways for his life. I want to tell you folks something. You are constantly having to face decisions, and you need continual discernment in life. And in His mercy and in His wisdom, God has appointed this place, the church, and He has appointed the pulpit, to be that place where you can come and hear the precepts of God and learn the will of God, and God can direct your steps, and you can say, now, hear the voice of the Lord, here's the way, walk ye in it. And if you don't do that, however, if that's not the mindset when you come to church, if that's not the reason for your coming, it all just goes in one ear and it goes out the other, and there is no precept being learned and there's no direction being given, because that's not why you've come. David desired to know the precepts. You know, this truth cuts at the heart of much modern day church attendance. What's actually going on out there? Professing Christians are coming to church today to be entertained. And they're coming to hear music. But if all they get when they come is the plain preaching and teaching of God's truth, then they become bored and disinterested, because that's not what they're looking for. They have not come to the house of God with a real hunger to learn the precepts of God, to find out what His law actually teaches. They've not come with the mindset of a student who will come and sit, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, not at the foot of a man or of a preacher, but at the feet of the Master. Because all the preacher is, if he's walking with God and is studying the Word, all that he is, all that he claims to be, is a mouthpiece. All he is a postman delivering a message. That's all he's doing. He's not God, he's not Christ. He's simply saying, thus saith the Lord. Now, deal with it. Reminds me of something Dr. Barrett said in North of Ireland last year. My view, he said, of biblical counseling, people, personal counseling, read your Bible and deal with it. That's simple. Read your Bible and deal with it. Well, I know he's not really like that, you know, but you appreciate what he's saying. You come to the house of God to hear the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is sufficient. I remember years ago when we were all as students preaching to Mr. Cairns. There was five of us in a class, and we all had to get up to preach, and I happened to be the one that had to preach that particular morning on his hand, Eleazar, his hand clave to the sword. That was the text assigned us. And his hand clave to the sword. Now there's a text you ought to try to preach sometime. I found out later on that day that there was a young man from the university who had come in to talk to Mr. Cairns about his problems and his sorrows and his worries and his life. And he was full of trouble. And he said, I walked into the church and there was somebody up in the pulpit preaching. And you know, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I don't need to talk to you, Mr. Cairns. The Word of God that I heard that morning met me at the point of my life. That's what I needed. Just cling to Christ and cling to the Word. And all will be well. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. The Word. He came, he wanted to dwell in God's house because he could get there and get the Word. I think David would stand back in utter horror at what goes under the guise of gospel worship in our day. Utter horror. We want to learn from this man after God's own heart. God's presence and His precepts are intimately tied together. His presence and His precepts and our coming for those things, they are intimately tied together. If you want His presence, if you desire that, then you must desire to say, Lord, speak, for Thy servant heareth. Whatever you have to say to me, Lord, I want to hear it. I'm not here to fight with you, God. I'm the student. I'm here to be taught of you. I'm not here to argue with you, God. My attitude is, when I come to church, when I come to God's house, Lord, simply speak to me and tell me what I want to hear. That does not mean, let me interject something here, that does not mean when you come to those back double doors that you check your brains and don't think about what the preacher is saying. Too often that is exactly the thing that happens. People don't want to think. I encourage you to think about what is being said. I encourage you to think about what is being taught. Go and find it in the Bible for yourselves. Don't take my word for it. But once you check it out for yourselves and it's in the Word of God, you had better not argue with it. It will be to your doom and to your dread if you do. You don't want to fight with God. You don't want to do that. All you will do is multiply heartache on top of heartache on top of heartache. You will make matters worse for yourselves. Don't come and say to God what He's plainly and clearly spoken through the message of God's Word. But. Don't do that. You make it difficult. And you know what will happen, brothers and sisters? You won't enjoy the presence of the Lord. You won't. You'll come and you'll hear a sermon, but the enjoyment of the presence of God won't be experienced. Come to this place of worship to learn. To learn God's precepts just like David. To learn His law. David, in the third place, wanted to enjoy something else. That's why he wanted to dwell in God's house. He wanted to enjoy the pardon of God. You see, the house of the Lord, this house of God he speaks of, this temple he speaks of, was the place of sacrifice. It was the place where the blood of the sacrifice was shed. It was here that the sinner brought his own sacrifice for his personal sin. The house of the Lord, follow my logic then, the house of the Lord was a place where the sinner could go and find pardon and peace of conscience. A place where peace was made with God. A place where peace was restored if it had been lost. A place where assurance of pardon for sin was found. A man after God's own heart would certainly feel his continual need of pardon, of God's forgiveness. He could not live without it. Not really live. We're going to see this next week. I think we'll get to it next week in the adult Bible class. When Christ was reconciling the world unto Himself. That's what we're going to deal with, what that means, reconciling the world unto Himself. But Paul, just a verse later, says, therefore, be ye reconciled to God. And he's writing to believers. Not to lost people. Believers. Be ye reconciled. You see, there's a continual need in our lives to appropriate the reconciliation that the blood of Christ has bought us. An up-to-date experience in the pardoning power of that sacrifice of Calvary. I'm not saying you can't experience pardon for your sin by God's grace and the sacrifice of Christ in your own home, down beside your couch or your chair or your bed or whatever it is you pray, or riding along in the car and crying, "Lord, forgive me for that." I'm not saying that. I am saying, however, that the house of the Lord is the place that God Himself has set aside, where the Lord's people come and they hear the preaching of Christ crucified. They see the Lord Jesus Christ's cross exalted and uplifted, and that brings pardon and peace and assurance to their own souls. Has that not been your experience? Have you not come to this house of God, this place of worship, and you've been plagued with doubts and fears and wondering about your own state before God? And the preacher stood up and he gave a message that pointed you to Christ, and your own heart was overwhelmed and flooded. I'm His and He is mine. If there's one thing we all need continually, and it's a sense of blood-bought pardon. You see, I know something. We have all failed God this past week. Perhaps some here are out of fellowship with the Lord even now. Perhaps some of you lack assurance. Some of you lack peace. But here in God's house, you come because you can hear about that blood atonement. You can hear about that crucified Savior. You can hear about that covenant of redemption that points you to a finished work, that points you to a successful Savior who is able to save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. We come to meet with Christ. We come to commune with Him. And you know why we come to this place? To get our feet washed. It's a very humbling and yet a very beautiful scene in the upper room when the Lord took off His outer garments. All He had on was the loincloth. All He had on was the loincloth. And He girds the towel about His waist. He goes about to do the work of a slave. It was the bondservant who did that. The other disciples would not do it. They were thought too highly. They were already arguing about who should be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Here they are at the Passover feast. And they're at the table having cross words. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the gall and the audacity? They've already seen that the Lord Jesus Christ is struck with grief, and they're bickering about who's going to be the greatest. Can you see the angry looks going across the table while they're eating? The Passover? Well, He gave me an eye. Jesus Christ quietly stands up, walks to the table, takes off the outer garment, down to His loincloth, girds on a towel, and gets on his knees and begins to wash their feet. Peter gets spiritual all of a sudden. "You're not going to wash my feet? Never, Lord!" "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. The word means fellowship. You can't have fellowship with me if you don't let me wash your feet." There was a spiritual lesson in that. You need your feet that walk through this world. There's the word walk again. That word comes up so often in the New Testament about our conduct through life, about our walk. As you walk through this world, you incur defilement every day, and you need me to wash your feet. And I am telling you, brothers and sisters, you need to come to the house of God to have your feet washed. Christ has appointed this place. It's a place where He declares His pardon. That foot washing was public. It wasn't private. It was public. They were assembled together with the Lord there, and He washed their feet. Fourth thing that David wanted, and I'm done. David wanted to obtain in the house of God the power of God. The house of God, the temple, whatever term, church. Your coming here is in order that you might obtain power. You see, grace equals power. Grace is power at work in the life. Grace. This is a place where you and I, through making use of the praising to God, the singing of the hymns, and through our praying and through hearing the preaching, if you can put up with the preacher, that is how you get grace. Now, you know, folks, usually you're not sitting there and all of a sudden there's a zap from heaven and a bolt of lightning. I just got filled with grace. That's not how it usually works. Now, there are times when that does happen. I don't mean a bolt of lightning, but it's as if God has just hit you over the head. And it's like there's nobody else in the room. It's just you and God. And you know God's talking to you. But usually, you come and you hear and you listen and you take in. You receive the engrafted word with meekness. And there's a power that it exerts in your life. But what happens? What happens if you don't come? Or what happens if you come, but it's not with these desires that you want to experience His presence and His power and His peace and His pardon? What happens? You either start going to church like millions of other people all across this land. You're a churchgoer. But that's where it ends. You come and you go and you come and you go. One thing He says, I have longed for, I ask God for, I seek God for. Lord, I never, ever want to find a place, a time in my life where I am not dwelling in Your house. I don't want to find myself there. This is what He wanted. Do you want it? Is that what you want? Is that why you're here? Pastor, I've come tonight because I need this power. And I've come tonight because I need this pardon. And Pastor, I am here because I want to experience God's presence and I want to hear His precepts. I want to hear what He has to say to me. I'm not here, preacher, to argue with you. I'm here because I want to hear what God has to say to me. Now that is being like a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart. We'll pick this up when I come back. And May the Lord come down and give us these same desires of David to dwell in His house all the days of our life. Let's seek His face together. Let's all pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, as we reflect at the end of this message upon the Word of the Lord, we find it hard to believe for a moment that there was anything new that was said. Anything we haven't heard before at some time in our lives. But Lord, the sheer fact that David is inspired by the Spirit of God to put this within this psalm tells us, if nothing else, that we have this tendency to forget what we've heard. Save us, Lord, as a congregation from the dead ritual of church attendance. My, our God, every time we have read of revival in any century, the whole concept of worship Thou hast changed. Do this here, we pray. I pray, our God and Father, Thou wilt refresh more and more in the minds and hearts of Thy people here what coming to church is all about. Thou hast taught us in Thy Word that if we seek Thee with all of our hearts, we will find Thee and find rest for our souls. Lord, we are living in a day of much turmoil, of circumstances that seem so powerful to disturb us. And Lord, we need that rest that will only be found in seeking Thee with the whole heart. Grant the gracious power to follow David in his desires for this one thing. Because then we know we will seek Thee and we will find Thee.
and find that rest for our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen.